Chapter 5, Mind and Medicine. Thursday morning, February 24th, 1977. No one can doubt that the body's mechanisms are practical. They work, yet the very treatment of the body, as if it were a machine, effectively separates the individual from his own body, his physical well-being from his own value judgments, and the body's workings from his own desires and intents. Man then seems to be the victim of diseases that sweep upon him for no reason. But no pill will cure the soul's melancholy, and to whatever extent the medical profession separates man from identification with and responsibility for his body, it deepens that melancholy, and the patient sinks down into philosophical chasms in which all hope seems lost. In my time, at least, medicine had a one-to-one relationship with the patient who came, perhaps shaken and certainly anxious, to the physician's office. That office was often set aside only by a few closed doors from the physician's living quarters. Outside the lace-curtained windows, the family wash fluttered on the clothesline. The doctor's children, more often than not, could be heard giggling or running in the drafty hall between the office and living spaces, where they had been banished by their mother from the kitchen. The patient could relate to the doctor as another family man, whose own supper was even then cooking on the stove, the odors mixing with medicinal potions, and sometimes superseding them in potency. The doctor's study, with its leather-bound volumes, solid desk, velvet hangings and footstools, was after all not that different from a burger's or a professor's study, except in its particulars. And in my time, those particulars were relatively few. A stethoscope, thermometer, blood pressure testing device, some phenobarbital in liquid or pill form, bandages, iodine, cloves for dental problems, chloroform, but mostly a listening ear and attentive manner, with more sophisticated instruments belonging to the surgeon, who was indeed the only specialist.